Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name's Amino Hassan, joined as always by Black Trey and Big Jerv. Got a fun episode lined up for you guys. A little later, we'll talk about Flatbush Misdemeanors, a very left-turn episode, and yet I liked it a lot. We'll get deep into that, including tattoos on the person that you're dealing with. How do you handle that? We'll also talk about P-Valley, and we'll rank, for the very first time on Bomb, the worst TV shows we've ever watched. That's right, guys. It's time. Because they've gone too far with this one. We'll talk a little bit about Jerv's crazy night out at the Pusha T concert. A crazy night that ended, I believe, with him worshiping Lord Porcelain, the porcelain god himself. And also, we'll talk about the crazy shit that's happening across the country, man. Roe versus Wade overturned. Who the fuck would have seen that one coming? But first, www.patreon.com/countthedings. That's where you get all the exclusive content. Make sure you're locked in. Hey, I get it. We haven't had an overflow in a few weeks. There was nothing to watch, but guess what? Westworld is back, and so Overflow is back. We are going to overflow on Westworld. So don't forget, don't skip out on that. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you are a Patreon, because you'll get that. You'll get the watch-alongs, by the way. If you're listening to this on Monday, we have a watch along tonight. Myself, Zach Harper, Anthony Mays, we're going to be watching Tango and Cash and reliving some of the great moments from that movie. Again, you want to make sure you are a Patreon and make sure you're locked in for all of that great content, plus the Discord, plus so much more. www.countthedings.com. Excuse me. Patreon.com/countthedings. All right, let's get into the show. Roe versus Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court, including by a bunch of justices that when they were sworn in or in their confirmation hearings, said there was no chance it would ever overturn it because it's the right to a woman's body, and that's kind of like the precedent and stuff. And within a couple of years, basically, all the niggas turned into liars. Some people were shocked by this. I'm not shocked at all. Now, by overturning Roe versus Wade, that doesn't mean abortion is illegal in America. It means each state has the right to decide for itself whether abortions are legal or illegal. Fingers crossed you live in a state where nothing changes in that regard. But if you do live in a state where abortion gets overturned, things get complicated because studies show, multiple studies show, when you outlaw abortion, it doesn't stop abortion, it just stops safe abortion. So all that happens is all these people who are trying to get abortions are going to get them anyway. They're just going to get them through some back alley shit. That's if they can't afford to go to another state to go get this stuff done. But guys, I'm gonna leave the serious stuff for woke bros. That's their lane, right? That's not really our lane here as much. But I do have a question because this thing was made apparent to me in a way that I did not know. Plan B is flying off the shelves because people are stocking up before their respective state goes ahead and makes that call. Did y'all know that Plan B was going to be the toilet paper of 2022?
I did not know that. But shit, baby formula too. I mean, this shit is, we're just running out of shit.
You can't have the shit that stops you from having a baby. And you can't have the shit that feeds the baby that you've been forced to have. Where are we at? What are we doing here, America?
Hey, you know what I learned though?
What's that?
Plan B doesn't work for women over 155 pounds.
Oh, big girl.
That's crazy to me.
What if you take
that's
two?
That's crazy to me. I don't know. I mean, I'm not that. But I was looking on Twitter and I was like, the fuck? Then someone Googled it and it was true.
Can I buy? Actually, I'm Googling, can I buy Plan B online?
But also, here's another thing.
You can. Shit.
The body index shit is racist.
About what I...
Like the expectations of like what's a quote-unquote healthy body and weight and stuff like that. Like I think that was required because that fit a certain person.
Yeah.
In the standard of human and like, you know, like because you see
medicine according to that, are they?
They probably did. This shit has been riding for a long time. I wouldn't be shocked though, because
they hate us.
But if you follow the body index, do not, because you are perfect as is.
Bro, I'm supposed to be like 170 or 180. I'd look like a fucking crackhead if I was 170 or 180.
Okay. So this is what it says. This is I'm reading this from GoodRx, right? There is no weight limit for Plan B in the United States. However, the labels warn of lower effectiveness in those who weigh more than 165 pounds and a lack of effectiveness for those who weigh more than 175 pounds. If you weigh 190, this is from Planned Parenthood. If you weigh 195 pounds or more, now they're asking me to donate one. Emergency contraception pills may not work for you at all. No matter how much you weigh, getting certain IUDs as emergency contraception works within 120 hours after having unprotected sex. So at 5 days after you have unprotected sex, you can get an IUD and it could still work. If you don't have an IUD, go ahead and go get you one right now. Like
Mark Cuban, let's team up. Let's team up for people of color and let's change this pill, the science of this pill. let's support the over 175, whoever it may be.
Go get in the lab with like
get in the lab. We need the power episode. We need Doc, bro, to create the Plan B for 175 and up.
I can definitely see you with a lab coat, bro. With a lab coat in there.
And with the glasses.
With the glasses. Some smooth ass fucking like jazz playing. And this nigga out here fucking about to create something that's going to just save the world. Well, yeah, bro, there it goes.
This is how much of my life has been a world.
Brother, right? That's Brother Edwards right there.
I did the whole intro to the show. I said, hey, we're gonna talk about this, we're gonna talk about that. Before we did the intro, before we started recording, I was like, some shit happened this week. I don't remember what happened, but some shit happened. I forgot what happened. You know what happened? I fucking saw Trey by complete accident. I was in New York and I went to last Sunday night, I went to Hasan Minhaj's taping for his Netflix special, right? The stand-up comedian, you know him, you love him from Daily Show, from his own show, The Patriot Act. And so now he's got his stand-up special coming out in October. So the taping was in Brooklyn. So we went to the taping. After the taping, my man Felton from Dreamville was like, yo, come through. We're going to Dumbo House. So I said, all right, you know, it's not far. It's like a quick trip over there. Let's go. Rode out, walk in, go upstairs, walk into the bar. Who should I see holding court, dressed like a weirdo in a group of other similarly weirdo dressed black people, but Black Trey himself. Like Black Trey in his full Brooklyn element. He had a knit hat on. He had like a big oversized like flannel shirt, a t-shirt. He had these jeans, them wide leg jeans. Yeah, he might have had Crocs on. No, he didn't have Crocs on. He had the Prada loafers that were like, hey, Jerv, them bitches were like patent leather, man. And like, it looked like some shit that Sean would wear.
Oh, come on.
Hey, man. Like, and I was just like, nigga, you really leaning into this shit, aren't you? And his whole crew, hey, man, it reminded me of like Zoolander or Charlie Murphy Prince story, whatever. Like the whole crew was dressed alike. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm wearing a hoodie and shit. Like I'm mad regular, and I see these niggas and they just all like so eclectic, and I'm like, the fuck is going on, man?
Hey, man, I was having my spicy margarita, man, the Picante. The
Picante Palomas, right?
I was just chilling, right? Yeah. You know, yeah, man. Well, you know. And I see a meme and I'm like, oh, you know, this is a meme, da da da. But I'm like with everybody, you know, and we were at Brown Sugar Bounce. It's actually happening today. So I seen him a week from this actual day.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a Children Are the Future with Future Hendrix on it shirt. It was tucked in. I had some Izzy Miyake pants, which is ribbed and flooded. So Amin's already like, nigga, what do you got on? Right. Yeah. And then I got my Prada loafers on, but then I also have a like, it's like twill. Like
no, over, yeah, twill. Yeah, that's
twill,
what
it is. The twill over flannel. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
What the fuck? Oh, let me Google twill. I don't even know what the fuck twill is.
Yo.
But long story short, Amin gives me this look. He's like, nigga, you got a Sean Little foot on. Like, yeah. Like this fit right shoes. Here, this is some shit Sean would wear.
I was okay with it's oddly enough, I was okay with almost all of it down to the shoes. I was like, nigga, what shoes are you wearing?
You said at first, you was like, nigga, you got on Crocs? And I said, no, I got on Prada loafers. Because the decal you could see after a while, you look back, he said, oh, this nigga got on some Sean Little shit.
Yeah.
And I was crying. Yeah, well, did you just find out what twill was? Are you very disturbed? Go ahead and say it, man.
I mean, honestly, bro, at this point in time, I'm just, you know, I love you. You my mans. Come to New York. Definitely show, you know, you know what I mean? It's a vibe, you know. But this ain't the nigga I met a fucking couple years ago, my nigga. Like, yo, you had the fucking bad boy fit on the one day at the fucking baseball game and shit. Right. And then now you fucking got the... Did you have one of those bags? Do you have a strap bag?
Yeah, I have. I keep a tote. It's a tote, man. It's just a tote.
A tote. What a tote
It's literally a tote.
Niggas don't do book bags no more. Like
The nigga he's using one of those like reusable bags that you go. You
get, oh, because he's so green. He's about nature, and he's this. It's recycled. Oh, okay, no. I get it.
No, so first of all, let me explain what's in the tote. Right, somebody actually commented on the other day on one of my posts was like, "This nigga got a purse." Sure, whatever, bro. But in there, I keep deodorant because New York's humidity is ridiculous. I keep cologne, my headphones, because most of the time I'm traveling on the train. So I throw them in. You don't want to be just walking around with fucking headphones here and there. I have that in there. I got a portable charger, so I got my fucking Mophie. And I got a wall charger in there. And then sometimes I keep wine on me because I never know.
So sometimes I keep wine on
me. I have a bottle of wine with me.
Wine on me.
Look at Jer.
I'm just so, hey, man. Yeah. Listen, that's but crazy.
In the tote, I can pull that shit out and go chill. You know what I mean? And have a nice little wine wherever.
Jervis.
Okay. Do you keep a wine, whatever? Do you keep that on you too? I mean,
It's called a waiter's best friend, but yes.
Waiter's best friend. What the hell's going on here?
Google it.
I don't want to. I'm afraid something else might come up.
It's not on Urban Dictionary. It's not a sexual position, by the way.
Oh, I mean, I don't know that.
But that's what it's called. It's a waiter's best friend.
After this week's episode of P-Valley, man, I have no faith in anything anymore, man. I'm just like, everything is with extreme caution. Like, now, hold on. Oh, my God. We'll get into that in a bit. Jerv, you went to the Pusha T concert, and you got pitted.
Well, describe the atmosphere, first of all.
Yeah, like, build up the concert, and then, like, tell us about, like, your experience after that.
So first and foremost, let me just say, niggas is lying to you. They say Pusha T don't bring them out. I'm just going to leave it at that. And niggas make it seem like it's just...
Okay. Were they dressed like Trey?
No. They were dressed like they like fast money. They like fast money and cars.
Okay.
That's what they were dressed like.
Okay.
They like drug dealers. That's what they came dressed like.
Were they dressed like Trey is crazy.
Because it's a universal thing. It's like, if I see him dressed like Trey, like that, I'm just like, yeah, nah, probably I should probably go this way, you know.
So no, they definitely have what I would consider what the attire that similar to what we grew up on, seeing as you go out to clubs and stuff. But my line brother works for a liquor company. So every now and then he'll hit me up and be like, yo, come through. We on the company tonight. Cool. So he was like, yo, I'm going to the concert. Come through. We on the company tonight. Hey, man, you don't got to threaten me with a free night. I'm there. Come through. You know, we drinking.
Trey, did you notice the nigga didn't even say a good time? Nigga just said a free night.
Yeah.
Not a free night, bro. That's sick.
Hey, man, listen, dog. It's wild times we living out here in. But I get there, you know. So I'm on my margaritas. It's a margarita summer for me. So you know, I probably go to one spot. I probably put back put three margaritas back. Go to another spot. I put two healthy cups of Remy back, mixed with a beer. And then we make, so I'm good right there, right? Like I'm good.
Remy's and beer. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm good right there. Right. I should probably stop, but no, I can't prepare for the concert. Yeah.
It's there. Yeah.
It's there. And I also can't prepare for the concert. So, you know, I've got some medicine in my pocket, a couple of those things.
Let me pause you right there. Let me stop you right there. How do y'all feel about mixing those two worlds? I know I have zero. Like I'm already bad enough if I smoke something or take an edible, I'm already bad enough. Like I probably shouldn't be out the house, but I'm kind of quasi-functional. You introduce alcohol into that mix, I'm gone. So how do y'all reconcile that? Because people are like, oh yeah, I got drunk and I got high and you were still active.
I'm usually okay with it, but I haven't done it as a 41-year-old man, so maybe my body does not accept that anymore. I know in my 30s I was okay with it. In my 20s it was perfectly fine, but I don't know about 40s. I think 40 might be the limit for me.
Life came fast for Mr. Gervais. What about you, Trey?
I could do both. I don't get hangovers, so it's never been an issue, but if I don't eat, I think that's the one thing that cooks me, right? And day parties have always claimed me as a victim, right? Because you'll be like, oh, yeah. You know, you think about it. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to do this. It's 11 o'clock. It's 12 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock. Oh, where we going to meet? Yep, I'll take a shot. Da-da-da-da. And you're so in the momentum, and you're like, fuck, it's 3 p.m., and I didn't eat a thing. And now you're like, shot here, drink I ordered here, another shot there, and the sun is cooking your ass. And you're like, like looking. But as far as being cross-faded, that's easy. I can smoke. I can drink. I can drink all type of shit, too.
Right. Me, like, too.
I went to a wedding last night, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, again, nice. Yes. Fucking wedding.
Everybody that Trey knows is getting married. Everybody.
Was there any celebrity bridesmaids or fucking
It was the entire WNBA team, bro.
Oh.
The Liberty.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Homie, there you go. Trey only goes to celeb weddings.
There you go.
No, yeah.
But the funny shit about it was, I see my boy, his brother plays in Japan. He's like, drink with your boy. So I'm like, all right. And you know, they got the little hors d'oeuvres going by. That's just not going to help. I haven't eaten yet. So I'm like, throw back a little hors d'oeuvre or whatever. He's like, Makers. As the first drink we're drinking. All right.
Oh, I love Makers.
I ain't had Makers in hella long. Fuck it. We drink it. Neat at that, by the way. So then they're like, champagne? I'm like, all right, cool.
On them bubbles.
Then somebody come over, let's take shots, nigga. Da, 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 da. We got the Casamigos. Take one, man. Are you a bitch?
I ain't no bitch.
Here.
You better put a name and an address on it in the words of Steven Jackson.
So then after that, I'm like, all right, cool. Finally eat. I end up at the club after the whole bridal party, everything. They all went to the club. We in Greenpoint. And niggas just buying Casamigos. Now, I've been out all week. We talking about recovery. Every day, I've been out till about 4 a.m. wanting to scream internally. And if you have seen my tweets, it has been about me complaining about being up so late. But yeah, it's not as me going into 38. I don't have a fighting spirit no more.
Dog, I'm gonna tell you what, man. That's what New York and Miami and Vegas do to me every single time. It's like, it's funny, I live in Arizona. Obviously, I work a lot, or used to work a lot in LA. So, like, I've been, like, the 2 a.m. last call. So, oh my God, I can't believe everything closed. Y'all close at 2? How lame is this? Da, da, da. Until when you get older, until you end up in one of these towns where they don't have a 2 a.m. last call, and at, like, 1:45, you're like, they're still going hard, man. Why can't they just turn on the lights and tell us all to go home?
I mean, it was
what time is last call?
I mean, it was 2:45 a.m. last night, right? And the DJ says, oh, y'all thought we was fucking done. We're staying up until 4:30. Nigga, my eyes, I said, I'm going home. Nigga, what? It was more people trying to get in. And they said, we going to 4:30.
Dog, I went
Why
to
would
place.
I want to be up that late?
I went to this place called Somewhere Nowhere or Somewhere Anywhere, whatever the fuck it's called. You know what I'm talking about, Trey?
Yeah, I know exactly.
In the city, this is after I've been out at Pergola, like, and shut Pergola down. And I'm like, all right, you're like, that's the end of the night, right? And they're like, no, man, we go to the next one. I'm like, what? And we ended up going there, and it's just like, I just stood there, and I realized, man, I don't want to do any of this shit, man. I just want to be in bed right now. That's the time I feel my age, man. But like you, Trey, I can drink everything, like, I across the board, mixing light, dark. I don't even believe in that shit, to be honest with you. But you introduce a little of the marijuana to me. Oh my God, it's Jared, all so, bad. All
so
bad.
How, that's how what did all me? This throw up get everywhere, bro?
So I after a couple shots being bought for me, now shots are being introduced inside of the concert, right? First of all, the concert's fucking rocking. It's fucking crazy. Probably 30 minutes into his set, I start to just like get that sweat going. And I'm like, huh, why am I lit like this? I eventually had to hand off what was left in my cup to, you know, my LB, because I was just like, yo, bro. And this was one of the nights where I was just like, yo, I think I should take an Uber home. We get back to the car, whatever the case may be. We sit in the car and I just have the initial blah, right? Like, but I catch myself, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm good. You know what I mean? Whatever the case may be. That turns into another blah, but this time half the stuff comes out of my mouth. Now it's over my pants. It's over my shirt. And now it's over, like, you know, part of the car and everything, right? So then, you know, the homie takes, ends up pulling into the casino parking lot, because I'm like, yo, we got to get out of here. I don't want anybody to fucking film me. You know what I mean? I don't want us to be a mark. Philly's a wild place. Yep, so we get into the casino park. Yeah, I mean, bruh. Yeah. So we get back into the, we get to the casino parking lot and we chill, windows is down or whatever. And I guess the smell that was inside of the car or on me, I don't know, one or the other, maybe it's on my hands, I don't know, makes me Earl again. And this time it comes out so quickly that I can't even open the car door to get it out. No. So now it's like all over me, dog, right? So hold on. Look. So then.
How much throwing up with, did you not just get it all out in one go? And then like,
no, bro, it was like, I had 8 separate episodes, probably in about like a 20 minute span.
I'm trying to remember. Yo, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So then I get out the car, right? I Earl again, but I don't get far enough away from the car. So now it's on the side panel of the door, right? And then I'm like, all right, well, look, there's probably some towels and shit in the trunk of the car. Open up the trunk of the car. Blah! All into the trunk of the car.
Nerve, what are you doing? you're not reacting to any of this shit, man. You think you threw up in his trunk?
That's so fucking nasty. That's like a episode of fucking Family Guy.
Dog, he sent the clip in the chat, and I just thought he meant like he threw up a lot. I didn't know he meant like.
So you throwing up now? You're just throwing up everywhere.
Yeah, and I remember at this point in time, I was like, oh, wow, I had a burger and fries earlier today. Oh, like, it's that type throw up, right? Like, it's that throw up. So at this point in time, I'm pretty much good now. Like, I feel fine, right? Like, nothing's wrong. So we make it back to the crib. I get there, and I'm like, oh, I need to clean my fucking car out, yo. And I was like, nah, I'll do it in the morning or whatever. So I wake up.
So you let it get overnight.
Dang. I cracked the window though. I cracked windows though, and I sprayed.
Nice of you.
Jesus Christ!
I've tried. I mean, listen. Hey, had a good night, man. I hadn't been out in a while. Like I hadn't been to a show in a while. The Roots Picnic, I went to that. It didn't really count because I ain't care about 90% of the acts.
I can't remember. It wasn't that long ago, but I had a long night, and the next day I'm on my way to the airport, and the dude driving, hard brakes, hard acceleration, hard brakes, hard acceleration. I'm like, don't throw up, don't throw up, don't throw up. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm listening to stuff, I'm looking out the window, I'm fresh air, everything in my power. I managed it sometimes, a couple of times it came up, and I'm like, don't you dare. And it went back down. And finally got to the airport. I got through security. I got there. They're like, I don't feel great, whatever. But like, I'm going to get on this plane and I'm going to fall asleep. Got to my seat, sat down. And like, it wasn't even that much turbulence. But it went boo. And I was like, give me that bag. Bruh! Man, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing more embarrassing than throwing up on a plane. Now, I didn't throw up everywhere. I threw up in the barf bag that's in your front seat pocket or whatever. But
there's a certain... Did you get it all in?
I got it all in. But then everybody looked at me like I was like, just like this bitch ass nigga here. Can't even ride a plane. Little turbulence made this bitch ass nigga lose everything.
Then first time on a plane,
on some shit like that. Hey,
ain't nothing worse than a nigga nervous on the plane. You be looking like a bitch ass nigga for sure.
Dog, tighten up, bro.
Bro, when I was flying to Austin, nigga, I remember the shit was like this. And I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, I've been on a bunch of flights and I've seen like turbulence. That shit did the dip, being like
the dip. Oh, ooh, and I was like,
so my dumb ass grabbed the back of the fucking seat. Somebody else's seat, like, oh, oh. And I'm like, look at, and the lady looking at me like, yeah. Yeah. It was what it was. Cause the nigga did, he ain't come on like shh. Everybody put on, he didn't say nothing. He just making it seem like he just got that shit under control. That motherfucker was like
yo, have y'all ever, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, when your stomach drop, you know that's the one where you be like,
oh, man.
Yeah, have y'all ever been on a plane with the mask?
That's why I don't like roller coasters down.
Nah.
Because it'd be like, I don't like the idea.
You don't do roller coasters?
Nah, I never.
Well, I'm not. No disrespect, bro. I'm not shocked that you don't do roller coasters. No, wow.
I thought you were gonna say I don't do roller coasters either.
I'm not, bro. I'm first. I'm missed the first car.
But why do you feel that?
Oh,
I look like I don't do roller coasters.
I feel like niggas that wear like the fucking that are trendy with their fits. I feel like y'all don't do roller coasters.
I think I was a kid before.
Yeah, but you no shots to Kofi. But you wasn't you was dead, like you was always from the stories you've told, you was always the different kid.
Yeah, I mean at the end of the day, look,
and the different kids never went on roller coasters, bro.
No, so I've got on roller coasters. Just I don't like the idea. I remember we went to our school would do these like can drives or like whatever box top shits, and you could go, right? And it worked out for like low income kids, right, for us. And I remember going to Knott's Berry Farm, and Knott's Berry Farm don't have like crazy, 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 crazy roller coasters like that. They should be kid friendly. Well, one ride, I'm telling the nigga that worked there, like, hey, I'm in. It's similar to kind of Kevin Hart story where it's like, nigga, the latch ain't latching. Like, nigga, I'm where I, and I'm doing the shit, and it's almost like I'm loosening it up. So when we're doing the free fall me, I'm holding that motherfucker like this. But I'm so small, man. And I'm like scared to, I'm like, bro, I'm gonna fall. I'm thinking I'm gonna, like, you know how you flip out of something like that, like that way, because the drop is falling so far. I'm like, oh, my stomach is falling. And then I remember the last time I actually gave it a shot was the nigga, it's my senior year, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you go like after prom. I don't know if y'all do that, but after prom, you go to amusement park in California.
In California, they do that shit. They'll shut down the park after hours.
Mm-hmm. So they do grad night shit. So I'm with my girlfriend at the time. Now, my girlfriend don't know nothing about me being scared of roller coasters. I ain't told her. I'm a tough nigga at this particular time. She like, babe, let's get on this. I don't want her shit at the shit. I done did the little, throw the little shit, knock down the shit. We kill her. My homie is straight up. Like, he like, I don't get on roller coasters. I'll hold y'all shit. I'm looking at him like, nigga.
Yeah,
that's my move.
Right? So I'm like, already. So we get, her fearless ass wants to sit in the front.
Oh, wow.
Hell yeah. Front car, doc.
He wants to sit in the front. I mean,
I think Jerry's
I'm on that shit like this, bro.
No.
And she's just like so disgusted with me after, like, my nigga, like, my whole, it's almost like Larry walking into the clear door.
The glass. Bro. It's a wrap. Like, she could never look at you same.
She couldn't look at me the same, bro. I was screaming, bro.
Yeah, I would annoy you on a roller coaster, bro. You would not like me because I'm the nigga that I laugh at everybody that's upset. I'm a hands up dude the entire way, right? Like, I put the hands up and I know where the cameras are, so I like the pose for the picture.
Oh, you like to do
I'm a pose for the picture, dude. Every single I would annoy you. I would 100% annoy you. I'm front car or last car. I don't do none of any of that middle crap.
I want to do the middle, man.
Last car is cool because you get the momentum. Last cars are cool because you get the momentum, and you know what I mean. And then you get the anticipation because you're hearing everyone else scream.
Oh yeah.
So it builds up or whatever. The front car is just the best because you don't know anything.
Yeah, but I don't do front car because the line is always the longest for it. Like, I'm not trying to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Well, all right. I'm front car on the rides that make sense for me to get the front car. Like, I'm right. if we're going to Disney World or whatever the case may be, and I've been on Space Mountain 35 times and it's in the dark, I don't need to go in the front car for Space Mountain, right? Like, I've been there. But if I want to go to all those like world's largest roller coasters or world's largest drop or something like all those, that's my bucket list type shit. Like, I got to get on those. And for those ones, like those famous ones that you see on the Travel Channel that it parks in Spain or whatever the case may be. Oh no, I'll wait the hour and a half for the 30 seconds of a ride.
All right, man. We done segued it three times. So how was the overall Pusha show, bro?
Oh, I said it was dope, bro.
All right.
The nigga's nice, bro. He's my favorite rapper out. He puts on an awesome performance. He went through his entire catalog. You know what I mean? He didn't just do the album, and it was just him on stage. You know what I mean? And it was never lacking. And again, he brings them out.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like, ah, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
All right.
What we doing? P-Valley
Flatbush,
or
Flatbush? Flatbush, 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 because it was a really cool episode, a little zig where others zag, and we went and saw what basically Kevin been up to. Is this supposed to be Texas? Where he's at, like, I know they probably didn't shoot it in Texas, but like, he's supposed to be from Texas on the show, right? And so
I thought he was from New York the entire time until this episode.
No. Yeah, because I knew he. I mean, there's a reason why he's sleeping on my man's couch, because he got no family in New York. So, yeah. Well, other than his sister, who played by Sam J, whatever. So, we get a glimpse of what Kevin's home life was like. He's kind of the runt of the family. Mom's on his ass. Pops is on his ass. You know, in Kevin's own words, he knew he was really down bad when his parents stopped caring that his sister was gay.
Like, that was fucking crazy.
Yeah, man. We get to see kind of like his art teacher, who's a crazy dude that does body paint. It is garage. We see
painting your dick and throwing it on the canvas is crazy.
Yeah.
He did that shit. When they did that little pan with the neon lights, I was like, oh shit, he really did just go put his dick on the pan.
Yeah, anyway, she said, yo, is that you? Is this you? And he's like, nah, if it was mine, it would have covered the whole wall. Oh man. And we get to find out, like, kind of Kevin's kind of man, like, he doesn't really have a support system in terms of people, you know, encouraging him to follow his dream, other than this art teacher. The art teacher's telling him, yo, there's this fellowship, it pays $50,000, it covers room and board. Like, this is exactly what you wanted, like, someone to invest in your time and your passion, and kind of remove some of the issues that were facing him in season one, where it's like he broke all the time and kind of homeless or whatever. But Kevin obviously doesn't want to do it, because being back in New York means being back around Drew and all the other issues that are happening. As I mentioned, he's got his ex that he runs into, and he tries to holler, and like every time he tries to holler, someone comes in and cock blocks royally. Finally, at the end of the episode, like, she finally hooks up with him and they're making out and taking off his shirt. He takes off her shirt and taking off her bra, whatever. And as they're making out, whatever, the nigga look in the mirror and sees on her back a massive tattoo that says Doug. Just the name Doug in big block letters on her back. And the next, as he's, first of all, he sees in the mirror, then the nigga tries to like crane his neck over her shoulder to read it the right way. And when he realizes what it says, the next thing you know, the nigga's in New York. Like, hey, I'm in New York. That shit had me dying. I laughed so hard. I laughed so damn hard, man. At just that, like, from him realizing what was on her back to, like, on the phone, hey, I'm in New York. He's dragging his bag behind him. He's wearing winter clothes and shit. Oh, what a great episode, man. That was cool. And also a great example of, like, how you can take the show away from the usual shit and still give us a great episode that also fits in with what the rest of the show was.
Yo, my favorite parts was it. This nigga, she was telling the nigga at the bar, like when they were talking, and they say, you got a kid? After all the shit he heard when they were talking, he like, you got a kid? And then she said, oh yeah, I got my baby daddy. I just use his Old Navy discount. He's so disgusted at that, for one. For a nigga that's at his lowest point to be disgusted at somebody, that means she even worse than his situation. And obviously he's feeling that, like, I honestly feel like the nigga's so such at a low point that he has to trick himself into falling for this girl. Like, he knows her situation is so wrong, but then to a point of like, nigga, I'm living with my parents. They making me wash the dishes. I can't even go do art. And maybe this old look I had back in the day can take me back, but now I find out she got a kid, and not only does she have a kid, but she got a nigga name tattooed on her back. Yeah. She had Doug, nigga, D-O-U-G. Doug,
a nigga that works Old Navy.
In Old Navy. That kind of, because he was like, yo.
That's small town vibe, like, right there.
Why'd you move away? He said, if I stayed, I would have been just like working at Target selling baby clothes. And she's like, my baby daddy works at Old Navy selling baby clothes. They sell baby clothes there too. And you can tell that shit hurt that nigga feelings, man. Like, it's crazy, bro.
Yo, I'm so happy that he saw that tattoo, because he was clearly about to choose them yams over his future. Clearly.
Oh, I mean, but he probably clapped and then just slid after. But it was so funny that reflective of the mirror just dug. I wasn't getting the scene at first. I was like, oh, this nigga, he about to hit. And then I seen it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, nigga, you know, because I was doing the play-by-play too in the chat, and I was fucking crying, laughing like,
yo, the funniest shit, like I said, is not him seeing in the mirror; it's him like then trying to move his, around to read it the right way without like stopping her, basically. But it also made me think of something else, like what made that scene particularly funny. Yo, man, I'm going to say this for all TV shows, but specifically for black TV shows, man. We got to stop having sex scenes for the sake of having a sex scene. Like, if you're trying to make good TV, like, make good TV. Make it have a point. Don't have a sex scene just to say that we had a sex scene or because people want to see sex scenes or whatever. Like, and if you haven't caught my drift here, we're transitioning over to P-Valley. The idea that, like, a show that is all titties and ass, it's like, not enough. We got to also have a sex scene. Like, you don't have to. You don't have to do that. And I'm not, I don't care about same sex, different sex, whatever. I'm just saying sex scene for the sake of a sex scene is so basic. Now, that sex scene was super graphic. Unnecessary.
I normally sit through shit and I didn't watch it.
I fast forwarded.
I sat through it. Through it. Like, it was just like they making out, cool, whatever. All right. And then like take your clothes off. Right. We get it. They about to have sex. These motherfuckers had my man had the condom in his mouth, then went down. We saw hands gripping around the back.
See, I didn't even see none of that.
The nigga got flipped over. And I'm like, okay, all right, we get it. And we're fucking like pull out lube. And it's like and everything in like painstaking detail. And I'm just like, I wouldn't want to see this shit in any case. Like, it's just gratuitous and it's unnecessary and it doesn't advance the story. I was surprised. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for those keeping track at score at home, that is what I told you all was the situation last week. But
okay,
you know,
you did say that was gonna be his lover.
I just wanted to put that out there.
But the funny thing is, the thing started with like my man was upset about like cops shooting people, right? And so he rested his head against the dude's stomach, and I said, I've never been sad enough to rest my head on a nigga's stomach.
Yeah.
Little did I know, like there was escalation afoot.
But Jerv kind of hit on it, and not to assume all niggas that go to jail don't be coming home, you know, ready to mingle. But in that particular situation, you know, he was, you know, he's like, oh, when they were talking about, oh, you held me down, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I didn't expect this love triangle now. Like, this nigga murder basically fumbled his niggas, basically.
It's very tired. I mean, look, man. First of all, like midway through the show, I thought to myself, this shit is worse than Power. This is worse than Power. Then at some point I started thinking to myself, is this shit worse than Tyler Perry? Because that's where it's at. It's like none of it. All of it is so super duper superficial, surface level. Hey, let's have some shit about it. First of all, did they do this show like and think it was going to come out in 2020 or like early 2021?
No,
picking up where they left off.
No, I just think that writers, it was inspiration for a lot of writers. You know how like you recap the year? Because a lot of shows have been based on the pandemic of like previous writing. It's not supposed to come out like that, but it's making it seem like it's some sense of reality and we're like watching it from that. But especially a show like this with all that happened in 2020 and we just got the normal shit and then obviously studios were shut down and they started recording this, I feel like the writers of this show was like, let's throw this in to make it current, especially from a hole in the wall Southern city. And
yeah,
it, you know, even
but,
though we
but Trey, it's the opposite it, It's the opposite of current. It feels so fucking old. Like, these niggas are trying to talk about, like, masks and shit. Like,
but you gotta also think about
curfews.
When the last time you've been to, like, them type of areas? It's niggas still dressing like 2005.
Hold on. You think them type of areas is
They ain't masked up, but they for sure doing some bullshit.
But it was outside, more outside than, like, the cities were.
Yeah, so I mean, like,
but you gotta think, bro. They're in that area where I would imagine most people were probably a lot of people were probably against, you know, against the mask and all that.
That's
shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they've been outside, so like for us in the cities, we're like, yo, this thing feels super old because I just went to Dumbo House the other day and saw Trey and got fucked up with him, and you went to a concert, and like the world they're describing is 2 years old, but because of the way the pandemic is working, it feels like 200 years old. It's so old that I'm like, why are they doing, like, what, like curfews again? And then, and now they're trying to do the George Floyd shit, and I'm like, number one, regardless of how it's done, what they're talking about is super dated and old. And if it had come out last year, it would feel a lot more okay, like we're describing what we just came out of. But here we are, we're in a world now where all of us that want to be are vaccinated and boosted and whatever. It's like, yo, this is not resonate with anybody. And it's not far. It's like one of those things, you know, it's like songs. A song comes out and it's hot, right? And then what happens? Like a year and a half, like for the really hottest of hot songs, right? But a year and a half later, if you play that song, what is it? It's like, oh, this shit again, right? But if you wait 10 years, oh, this shit is a banger. These niggas are trying to play a song that came out a year and a half, 2 years ago. It hasn't been gone long enough for us to miss it or want to reminisce about it. But it's clearly not hot anymore. And they're playing it like, oh, I got one for you guys. What about Mask Off? Like, Mask Off ain't no song that, like, has like gone away long enough for us to miss it. This isn't Soulja Boy kiss me through the phone or some shit like that. Hopped up out the bed, turned my swag on. Like, that's been gone long enough where, like, you play it now, like, oh shit, remember that shit?
What was your reaction to Whoop That Trick?
Cheap.
I laughed.
Cheap. It's like, oh, they're gonna have a fight. What song can we play? Whoop That Trick. Okay, it's just cheap. On Cinephobe, we call it soundtrack exposition. It's when they're trying to describe what's happening with the song, which is just cheap. Like, you don't need to do that. Like, or if you're going to do it creatively. Don't pick the most obvious fucking song. The whole episode was obvious as fuck. This nigga's mad. Like Trey said, D-Ray Davis in the face looking ass nigga. Mad about, like, oh, they killed one of us. And then nigga, what that nigga do? Like, what that nigga do? And then the white girl says, like, I wish you would. Oh, you wish a nigga. Like, it's so surface level, Tyler Perry level. Like, they think they doing some real deep shit. But it reminds me of Ballers when Ricky Jarrett decided that he didn't want to play for Trump change because the white man wants him to stand for the national anthem, and he throws a change. Like, y'all are like, you just like went from the most obvious surface level shit without any kind of thought process to like make this deeper, make it more meaningful or anything like that.
I was gonna say, like, I think we joked about it. But like, I think they ran through their budget. Like, yo, like, even with the fucking when homegirl sneezed and how they emphasized, like they didn't have to do that, right? Like, she could have just sneezed and she could have been, oh shit, and I would have been like, yeah, that's normal, you know what I mean? Like, I think you're right. Like, they're super. It does feel like people from power came over and said, hey, we know what they want. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, like the health code inspector goes to the strip club, and now all of a sudden she's going, like, here's one thing. Either the health code inspector ain't never going to be in a strip club, or if the health code inspector goes to the strip club and there's a violation, she's going to do everything in her damage to let that shit slide because she likes going to the strip club. Mm-hmm. There ain't no in-between of, I love going to the strip club. Oh, no, I got to sneeze on. Fuck all of this shit. Like,
and then you hit them with a $26,000 fine. And then they say, oh, yo, yeah, aren't you the one that was in here with the blah, 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 blah? If it was that deep, she's supposed to be like, you know what?
Must have wave it.
We all good. Just fix this shit.
Yeah, man. You know what my first note was? Do any dudes go to the strip club?
They be in there.
Where, like, everywhere, every time I look,
they just always don't be highlighting no characters,
but I'm just like, it's just like, well, this is the most diverse strip club in the middle of nowhere America ever.
Lil Murder and his peoples be there. Well, not anymore since the last shit,
not since murder night.
it was a real murder night.
What's his name, my man Reggie. Mike Conley
comes home, nigga?
Yeah. Comes home and his wife is cheating on him with her coworker, and that
not walking chokes in on the she was getting choked by dick.
Yeah, well then this nigga decides to choke the nigga that was butt ass naked, and I'm
the
like
the doctor nigga.
You know, I don't know that, like, first of all, I don't know if I come home and like I wouldn't be like, all right, fuck y'all, I'll just be out. You know, like that one's easy for me.
I was,
but like, no, I'm saying like if that's what I think I am, but let's just assume I'm upset and then I'm not gonna leave. I'm not trying to fight no butt ass naked nigga, man. Like, I just,
if a nigga want to beat me in a fight, he probably would win because I'm just not really trying to just wrestle with a nigga. Just, you know what I mean?
This nigga had him up against him, like hemmed up or whatever, like chest to back or whatever. And I'm just like, what are you doing? And so then he drops me and says, get out of my house. And the guy's like, can I get my clothes? And he says, out. I'm like, fuck out of here, man. Like, I think Dave Chappelle had a bit where he said, I just start jerking off right there. What's he going to?
Yo, let me ask y'all this, because I thought this is what you were about to ask me. What do you think's worse? Coming home and seeing your wife getting them, your wife, your lady, whoever getting them cheeks clapped, mm-hmm. or come home and see your wife or lady getting her throat just choked?
Oh, that's worse.
on her knee, like she was on her knees, just,
hey man, sex sometimes don't hurt as much as you sucked his dick off.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's
that one always sting, man. She learned how to do it from somebody else, but just don't want to see that in action. That's kind of sad, bro.
Bro, and then she told my man, put your mask on. She said, Andre, where's your mask? Yeah, that was, I lost my mind. I was like, yo.
Oh my God. You know the Nigerian dude? Where you're like, oh my God. That was me, bro. I did not the audacity.
But also, it's bad writing. The nigga walked in his house and then walked up the stairs. You think he's gonna wear the mask all the way upstairs? Like, people take off their shit when they enter the house, man. Like,
but she's a nurse, though. She's a nurse, or doctor, or whatever. So she, you know, yeah, technically, she needed boy to come home and quarantine.
Then he starts, again. That's my point. It's like it's so far removed, but not far removed enough. Yeah. Right. Where it's just like, man, I forgot that shit. But it's just like,
do niggas still quarantine when they come home from trips now? Like, do we start to do that? I don't. I mean, I haven't been anywhere.
I do a little. No, yeah. If they never, let me tell you something. Spoiler alert: they never did that shit. I traveled to New York in September of 2020. You go and you gotta stay in the thing or in the hotel for 2 weeks. Nobody checks. Nobody gives a fuck, man. Nobody. Do whatever you want. It was something people said. Nobody actually did it. He starts arguing with her about the house. Like, oh, this ain't even my house. It's like, you bought this house. I ain't shit. And I'm like, nigga, aren't you a lawyer?
Apparently not.
She sat right on my man's dream of being mayor, too. After you just had the audacity to be getting your throat choked out, you can't even just say, yo, that's a good idea, babe.
Like, being a mayor ain't shit.
Yeah, man. Somebody, who is it? Mercedes goes to the condo. And then, like, what's her name is there waiting for her. Coach calls her, and he's asking about where his socks are. Oh, it's in the Louis, da-da-da. I'm like, who the fuck calls about socks? Have you ever called anyone about where your socks are?
No.
They just
making Coach look like a whole ass nigga.
The weirdest writing ever. It turns out that she called because she wants to fuck with old girl. She felt something the last time.
Yo, I know a nigga that that has called his wife asking him where like his socks or his drawers or something was or whatever. I know a nigga that's done that, and I was like, yo, dog, like, just while he was home and she was out.
Dog, how do you not know where your socks and or drawers are? Like,
they're in the sock and draw drawer.
Apparently he's that busy that he's just not locked in, and she done moved everything around the crib. I don't know why they trying to sell that though.
She said she tries to teach her how to pole dance. She falls. She says the pole said, "Bitch, you thought," which again is like when they allow Twitter to do the writing for them. She says she feels a little vulnerable because look at her, and then she's crying. He's like, look at me, I'm crying in front of a stripper." And Mercedes, for the second episode, gets offended, and I'm like, "Bitch, you're a stripper. You're a stripper."
How long has that pole been in their house? You trying to tell me that wife ain't never been on that thing?
Nah,
I mean, because he had
that's
the condo.
He had other hoes too.
Yeah, and also that's a condo he got for this one. That ain't the home. That ain't the house. Let's see, real quick. Oh, they're trying to get the shit fixed. And they can't find the HIPAA filters or whatever. And then the nigga sitting there is like, "Don't worry, I got you covered." And a truck magically. And I'm like, "Nigga, did you just hold on to this as a surprise? Why did you just say, you don't need to go to the store? I got a team of niggas who's going to come through and do this shit." Meanwhile, the bitch that sneezes is over there standing in the middle of a parking lot, calls over to Uncle Clifford. He comes there and is like, "Yo, you got a lot of nerve being here, whatever." She said, "Yeah, I have a surprise for you." And then she points to another part of the parking lot, and all the strippers are there, and the nigga Diamond walks out. And I'm like, how are they hiding in a big open parking lot? They were too lazy to even write that they were around the corner of a building or whatever. Nigga, just put them in, like, these niggas just sitting there in this parking lot, and nobody noticed.
Why was that such a big surprise, by the way? They work there. They should be there helping. This is for their job.
Dog, man. Like, all this shit. This show is bad. Jerv, what's the worst show we've ever watched as a group? I you know what? It's officially, it passed what's it called for me. Yeah, I watched 10 seasons of Lovecraft Country. 10 seasons before I watched this shit, man.
Nope. Because this at least has titties and ass in it. Lovecraft didn't.
Okay. But even then, man, like, look, I thought about that. I thought you might say that. Jerv, you know where I go when I want to watch titties and ass? Pornhub. Like, why am I watching this for my sex? I can watch actual sex. Right? I can watch actual sex. I don't need to watch this for my fix of sex. And that's how I got to the place. Like, why do we have sex scenes? Because motherfuckers are horny? Like, just grab your phone and go to the bathroom. Be horny there.
Nah. I mean, yeah, niggas is horny. But I think we have it because it's the natural ebb and flow of, like, what happens in our lives. You know what I mean? I think although P-Valley's kind of getting, like, it seems like they are just putting sex scenes in there. I think it would have been odd if they have but Powers was different. It was like, "Oh, yo, you're about to die. Let me make sure you get a sex scene before you die," right? Lovecraft. What's this called again? P-Valley. P-Valley's more like, "All right, hey, we got strippers. We got a bunch of horny people. Play in Players Club, they had sex, I think," right? Didn't they have sex in Players Club?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But it's not worse than Lovecraft, dog. No way. Because Lovecraft, at least this, I can tell you that they made a weak attempt at 2020 or whatever year this was supposed to be. Lovecraft just had an alien come out of the ground and Jackie Robinson appears and hits the alien, and now the world is saved. Like, what? What is this even about?
I would kill for that right now, man.
Well, apparently you might be getting it because we had a hand come out of the floor of this one, so you might be getting a little Lovecraft.
At least Lovecraft knew what it was and was what it was. These niggas don't know if they want to be a stripper show, a woke show about like George Floyd, like a fucking supernatural show. They don't know what they want to be. And all of it is just like random shit. Like, wouldn't it be cool? I'm sick and tired of these wouldn't it be cool ass TV shows, man. They just need to stop. Let's do it. Let's wrap it up here, man. Special thanks, as always, to Big Jerv and Black Trey. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. Reminder, the Overflow returns tomorrow. We're going to be reviewing Westworld. Westworld returned on HBO this week, so we're going to be reviewing Westworld on Overflow every week. Make sure you're subscribed. Patreon.com/countthedings. Also, as a reminder, if you're listening to this on Monday tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, we're doing a re-Watchingtons. We're doing a watch along for Tango and Cash, me, Zach Harper, Anthony Mays. You don't want to miss that. Till next time, stay black, motherfuckers.